Welcome to Uplift. Uplift is a podcast for worldwide New Testament Baptist missions missionaries. It is a 10-minute weekly word of encouragement. Today, our host is Gene Krockenfels, pastor of Temple Baptist Church in Sarasota, Florida, and an executive board member of Worldwide New Testament Baptist Missions.
Hello, and welcome to today's podcast. This is Brother Gene Krockenfels, pastor of the Temple Baptist Church in Sarasota, Florida, and we're examining the subject of prayer, looking at different motives for prayer. Today, we're considering the motive of compassion. We find that in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now, this chapter is occupied mainly with directions about the mode of conducting public worship. Timothy had been left at Ephesus to complete the plans which Paul had begun during his ministry there. So Paul, in writing to Timothy, exhorted the men and women in the church and reminded them of their spiritual responsibilities, especially to pray. Now, there's seven different Greek nouns for prayer used in the New Testament, and four of them are found here in verse 1. Supplications carries the idea of offering a request for a felt need. Prayers, the most common term for this activity, emphasizes the sacredness of prayer as an act of worship. Intercessions suggests, as Christ is our advocate, we have the privilege to go to God on behalf of others. And giving of thanks simply means expressing gratitude. We're going to look at five aspects of this motive of praying with compassion. Verse 1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, when Paul says first of all, he identifies prayer as the first duty of the church and public worship. Now, it doesn't mean it came first in public, in order of time in their public setting, but it was regarded as the duty of primary importance. The duty of praying for the salvation of the whole world is not to be regarded as a subordinate or secondary matter. It's sad to see how prayer has lost its importance in many churches today. But prayer was as much a part of the apostolic ministry as was preaching the word. Acts chapter 6, verse 4 tells us we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. But church members also need to be prepared to pray. Our hearts must be right with God and with each other. You know, we should really want to pray and not pray simply to please people or fulfill a religious duty, as did the Pharisees. Someone said when a local church ceases to depend upon prayer, God ceases to bless its ministry. Oswald Chambers wrote, prayer is not preparation for the work, it is the work. The second aspect of this matter of compassion is verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. All men makes it clear no person on earth is outside the influence of believing prayer. This means we should pray for the unsaved and the saved, for people near us and people far away, for enemies as well as friends. Yes, Paul urged the church to especially pray for those in authority. Even when we cannot respect men or women in authority, we must respect their offices and pray for them. In fact, it is for our own good that we do so. Remember, Jesus said, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good for them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Jesus from the cross gave us such a perfect example of this when he cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Sidlow Baxter wrote, men may spurn our appeals, reject our message, oppose our arguments, and despise our persons, but they are helpless against our prayers. William Law once said, there is nothing that makes us love someone so much as praying for them. Yes, the early church was always subject to opposition and persecution, so it was both wise and beneficial to pray for those in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life. Quiet refers to circumstances around us. Peaceable refers to calm attitude within us. the purpose of our compassion. Verse 3, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. It emphasizes our attitude. The word good is a key word in Paul's pastoral epistles, as he uses it dozens of times. More than referring to something doing good, it speaks of something being good. And when he says it is acceptable, you see, prayer is also pleasing to the Lord when his children pray as he has commanded us to. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And not only our attitude, but our aim, who will have all men to be saved. What's God's will? The salvation of lost souls. We can pray for all men because it is God's will that all men come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter wrote, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. John wrote, 1 John 2, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. In 1 John 4, we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The premise of our compassion is verses 5, 6, and 7. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. You see, many believers don't realize prayer is based on the work of Jesus Christ, both as Savior and mediator. You know, one of Job's complaints had to do with the absence of a mediator who could take his message to the throne of God. We see that in Job 9:33, wherein he declared, "Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both." You know, this has been the plight of mankind until the birth of Jesus Christ. Since there's only one God, there's need for only one mediator. And that mediator, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. No other person meets that qualification. Why do we pray for all? Because Christ died for all. And it's God's will that all be saved. Croft Pence wrote, "No gift is more needed by a dying world than a living Savior." And then fifth, concerning this aspect of compassion, this motive of praying for others, we look at the purity of our compassion. Verse 8, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." Paul gives two essentials here for effective prayer. First, spiritual purity, lifting up holy hands. The first essential was holy hands, and obviously this means a holy life, because clean hands in Scripture were symbolic of a blameless life. And then social purity, without wrath and doubting. Without wrath requires we be on good terms with one another. A person who is constantly having trouble with other believers, who is a troublemaker rather than a peacemaker, cannot be at peace with the Lord as well. The Scripture tells us, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men." But he says, without wrath and doubting. The word doubting means here disputing. It refers to evil thoughts, debate, or contentions. The same idea is found in Luke chapter 9. "Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be greatest." Contention between believers, contention between us and the lost, it hinders our effectively praying for others. You see, we're not to approach God in prayer in the midst of disputings and angry contentions, but we should go to him with pure hearts and sincere desires. Effective praying then demands I be in a right relationship with God and with fellow believers. Jesus taught the same truth. If we spent more time getting our hearts right before God, our prayers would likely be more effective in praying for man. Mark 11, Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. And if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father forgive, Father which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." Yes, we have the priority, person, purpose, premise, and purity of our compassion. This motive, praying for others compassionately. You know, sometimes we come across the paths with people who seem to be brusque, not easy to like. Well, the scripture tells us, and of some, having compassion, making a difference. If we pray more compassionately, I believe we'll find God working mightily in our midst. We trust these thoughts are a blessing to you today. Thank you for listening, and take care.
Thank you for listening today. Join us next week for another word from home of uplift and encouragement. Remember, you are not alone.